Good morning. First, thank you so much for allowing me, my wife Sarah, and our four-month-old Olympia Rose to be here today with you. We are excited and honored to be here with you. Also, a special thanks to Reverend Matthew Johnson Doyle for the invitation. He may know something that you guys don't know because he obviously scheduled this while he's on sabbatical. So I don't know if that's a good sign for me or a bad sign, but I'm going to go with it. So tomorrow we will celebrate the adoption of the Declaration of Independence, where we declared our independence from Great Britain. We also declared as a new country that all of us were created equal, and we have unalienable rights of life, liberty, and the pursuit of happiness. Also, the Declaration of Independence happened to be signed by several Unitarians, John Adams and Robert Payne among them. And so I think I'm in pretty good company here today. But tomorrow is really a day that we should be celebrating. We celebrate that independence, and we have an opportunity to look at where we have been and be thankful for how we have come and how far we have come as a community and a country. Days like tomorrow make me think about my parents, make me think about my parents and the gifts of wisdoms and the lessons that they taught me, the lessons that they vocalized sometimes very loudly, and also lessons that they showed, though, through their actions and their efforts. One such lesson that I hold near and dear to me is that we are incredibly fortunate. My parents always told me that. We're incredibly fortunate, and we are so blessed. And because of that, we have a great responsibility. Tomorrow is one of those days, again, that we're going to be celebrating. We're going to be sharing time with our friends, with our spouses, with our families, our children. Some of you may go on long walks. You may enjoy golfing. You may swim at a pool. You may watch a parade. You may just spend extra time in your garden. And those are all wonderful ways to celebrate. But while celebrating, I really do believe we have a responsibility to our forefathers and our foremothers to take an honest look at where we are and realize we have so much work still yet to be done. And we only look at that work and we only realize where we are and how much work we have to do because we need to truly honor and respect the courageous acts that our forefathers and mothers did before us. We need to recognize the change and the progress that we seek is not going to be done for us or by someone else. We need to be those who serve and make that change. As Gandhi said, we need to be the change we want to see in the world. We must actively participate in this process. We need a new generation of leaders with creative and collaborative solutions to the issues that we face here locally. But we not only need this new generation to step up, we need to reinvigorate the generations who have come before us and have done this work for so many years. We need to re-engage our citizens in Rockford so that they know we need them and that they know they can make an impact on our community and have a lasting legacy. We have come a long way, both locally and nationally. This is undeniable. As a country, we've passed landmark legislation. We've won major legal decisions. We have outlawed discrimination. We've improved voting laws, improved equal wages, improved working conditions, outlawed segregation in our schools, in our businesses, in government. We have improved access to education and much more in the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness. Locally, we've done some good work as well. Locally, today we have more women serving in our city government than we have in any recent time in our history. We have also begun to use the river that's been a convenient divider for us as a place for people to come together and be part of a community. We've also dealt with our school segregation of our own, and today we're still dealing with public housing debates. So we have much to be proud of, and rightfully so. But again, to honor those forefathers and foremothers, we have the responsibility to continue to strive for equality and the pursuit of life, liberty, and happiness for all of our residents. We still live in a nation where 1 in 3 African Americans will go to jail. Whereas a young black man, you have a nearly high as likelihood of going to jail as you do of getting a college diploma, where our justice system continues to be anything but just, where someone can go to jail and have a felony for a small amount of drugs, but yet a Wall Street banker can defraud millions on Wall Street and have almost no punishment at all. Here in Winnebago County, we still struggle to find answers to help those who are formerly incarcerated return to our community successfully. Today, we spend more than $25,000 a year to incarcerate someone in our Winnebago County jail. We spend little in the way of rehabilitating them. Neither the county nor the city have come to find successful collaborative ways that we can work together to holistically address the needs of our returning citizens. My parents always told me that you can learn a lot about someone and a lot about what they value if you just look at their budget. Think about this. We spend less than 8% of our 1% criminal justice sales tax on rehabilitation and prevention. That's less than $2 million out of the $27 million that comes in through that sales tax. This certainly shows that we don't value rehabilitating and preventing and helping those who are returning to our community. If we don't address these needs of our returning citizens, it's no wonder that they often come back to our community with little hope, no dignity of employment, and have little choice but to return to that life of crime that then provided them some money and some resources, and it also provided them some feeling of connection with their group or their gang. Not only do we not work to rehabilitate our returning citizens, but I question if we truly understand the systematic undercurrent of these grave problems. We lack a holistic approach which would provide a religious and spiritual outlet, where we would provide drug and alcohol counseling, that we would provide job training and educational advancement opportunities, where we work with employers to help create incentives so that they can employ folks who have a difficult working history. To me, this can be done. This can be done with better alignment between our county and between our city, and as long as we work in concert with our wonderful community organizations. We must, though, realize that our outdated approaches are not working. We must realize that we need to collaborate here locally to find a solution that will allow our returning citizens to become better members of their own families and also better members of our community. To me, this will help reduce crime, it'll help improve our local economy, but it'll also provide that equal opportunity for our citizens to live a life of liberty and to have an opportunity to live a life of happiness. I personally think we should be exploring different ways that we can collaborate with a reentry office. Many communities have a reentry office, we do not. We could fund this office using forfeiture funds. This office could help facilitate the many wonderful organizations that we have in our community and help better align our efforts and make the greatest impact on these lives. Also, at a time that we are becoming more racially and ethnically diverse, we're also becoming more and more unequal in terms of our wealth and our income in our country and our community. If you look at a report that was done in 2015, it's pretty telling. It says that 73% of white families own a home, compared to 45% of black families. Education, which is a key driver in our global economy, shows that 34% of whites have a college degree, compared to just 20% of blacks, and even less, 13% of Hispanics. And the sad thing is this gap is just widening every year. To me, education is a critical area in our community that we need a lot of improvement. Only 21% of Rockfordians have a college degree. If you compare that to Peoria, they have 31% of their residents have a college degree. This is a big difference because if you look at the studies, they show that the difference between a high school graduate and a college graduate can be $1 million in that person's lifetime. That's opportunity, that's hope. That gives someone the opportunity to live that life of happiness. When you take a look at our elementary schools, 83% of our children live in poverty. 5 out of 6 of our kids who go to Rockford Public Schools live in poverty. I used to get excited about snow days. These kids don't, because that's a day they're not getting 3 meals a day. What opportunities are we providing these kids? How are we providing them the hope that they can live a life of happiness? We have seen recently we can't depend on the state. It's almost laughable, but we certainly cannot. We again need to create those own collaborative ideas, and we have to have our local institutions, but we need the talents of you. We need the talents of the people in Rockford to come together and start putting more and more of their talents and time into helping create solutions for these local problems. When we look at home ownership locally, the number of people who own a home has been decreasing year after year. Today, only 54% of Rockfordians own a home. You compare this to Naperville, where 75% of residents own a home. Or Illinois, on an average, 65% of Illinoisans own their own home. This is significant. Our neighborhoods, in my opinion, need strong investment from the local leaders and also our residents. Home ownership plays a critical role in our community. Homeowners accumulate wealth as an investment, and their home grows. Homeowners enjoy better living conditions, and they often engage more in their community, and on average, their children perform better in school and have a lower likelihood of being involved in criminal behavior. I recently had the opportunity to work with Ian Winneberry from the Park District and Tim Rollins on the school district, and we created a collaborative program to help look at those homes in our community that are foreclosed. And today, if you look at the school district, the city, and the park district, we make up about 80% of your tax bill. If someone wants to purchase a foreclosed or a short sale home now in the city of Rockford, they can get 3 years, Olympia loves it, they can get 3 years of tax rebated. Also, if you look at our history, the last 4 years, the largest home developer in our community has been Habitat for Humanity. I love Habitat for Humanity. I think it's undeniable how much great work they do. But no strong community has Habitat for Humanity as our largest single family home builder. So our program says if you want to build a home in the city of Rockford on an existing plat so we don't continue the urban sprawl, we will also rebate your taxes for 3 years. So this is one idea that we can work on collaboratively and here locally. Will it work? I don't know. But I do know that not doing anything will get us right where we are today. As we look forward, I truly believe we have a bright future. We can become a community on the rise again. And to do so, we have to understand and respect how we rose before. We have always and really only succeeded as a city, as Rockford has only succeeded in my mind when we have an inspired and a courageous citizenship. As you celebrate Independence Day tomorrow, I humbly ask that you remember the courageous efforts of our forefathers and mothers that they made and think, how can we give back? We need people who care deeply about our neighbors, who care deeply about their own legacy, and deeply about their community. The only way I feel we move forward is to reach our full potential is if we get the young people to step up into leadership roles and get those seniors to re-engage and become mentors to our younger people. Spend time tutoring our youth in our public schools. Volunteer to start a neighborhood organization, or volunteer to host a block party that can help build a sense of community. Or also do the dreaded thing, volunteer to serve on a committee and make an impact. We need more people active, and we need more people engaged in the process. We owe it to ourselves, and we owe it to our community, and lastly, we owe it to the people who are going to be coming up behind us. For me, as a new father, I remember the lessons that my parents had taught me and showed me through their actions. I look at little Olympia Rose, and every day I question if I'm living up to the responsibility that I've been given. And I don't know if I am. I'm just trying my best, and I think that's what we all should be doing. But I ask tomorrow that we celebrate for sure, but also consider how we can together make a difference in our community. We need to make a difference together more now than we ever have before. We have a number of struggles in our community and a lot of really healthy debate, but we need more people to get engaged and to be part of that process. I really appreciate you giving me the opportunity to be here today. I'm honored to be here, and I hope you have a wonderful 4th of July. Thank you.
I believe we are going to sing a hymn next. It's a mystery hymn. Are we singing a song?
I don't know.
Okay, well, it just has a singing hashtag blank there for us. That sounds good. First person to find America the Beautiful wins a prize. Okay. So glad you were all here today for worship, that we worked together to get through this today. I hope you take what you heard today and bring it into your own life and share it with others. And we'd love to see you all next week. If you know someone in your life who could use a message like that for their life, please invite them and bring them with you. I will now extinguish our chalice, but not the light of truth, the warmth of community, or the fire of commitment. These we carry with us until we are together again. While I do that, I invite you to join hands together, if you wish, for our benediction and blessing.